Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, is this thing even working today?
Yeah,
I'm upset.
50,000 on my head is disrespect. So offended that I had to double check. I'ma always take the money over sex. That's why they need me out the way, what you expect. Got a lot of blood and it's cold.
Yo, what is going on, people? It's Gerard, also known as Perk, the Devil Barco owner. Finally did this first show on the road. First quarter recap. That's how I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to do it by quarters, even though I kind of missed about a week. Because, just to be plain and simple, you guys move too damn fast for me. So, we got to do it a quarter at a time. And we're going to get right into it. It's been a very, very interesting beginning of the season. We got a lot of crazy stuff going on with offenses failing all over the places. Very vaulted defenses, a lot of interceptions. I can't wait to actually cover that. but yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on here. But I did want to welcome everybody. It's probably the first time like everybody's heard me in a while. so let's get right into it. First thing I want to go over was the my early award predictions. We have a good amount of guys who are putting up good numbers. And you excuse me, I have to turn down my madness freaking loud. We got a lot of guys putting up crazy numbers. First person that jumps out, of course, is per usual, is Q, who's doing great numbers right now with those Atlanta Falcons. I believe he has the number two offense right now with total yards a game at 421 yards a game, and a good grip of that coming through the air and on the ground. One of the surprise offenses that I did see is going to be Indianapolis Colts. This guy here has one of my surprise picks for MVP right now with Hines, the running back, who currently he's just killing it. I don't know what he's doing over there, but right now, dude has 102 carries at 620 yards. That's 6 yards per carry with 14 touchdowns. He's the only running back in the league right now with double-digit touchdowns, which is just beyond. Just beyond me. I don't even know how the dude is managing right now. But he's sitting at 6-0, has a number five offense in points at 34 points a game, first in yards, as I said before, third in passing and third in rushing yards. He has a very balanced attack, averaging about 293 yards a game through the air, 141 yards on the ground. As I said, a lot of that coming from Naeem Hines. But, yeah, we like I said before, Hines is starting to look like my standout pick for MVP. If I had to give one out for the first 5 weeks of the season, this first little quarter of the season, he's definitely taking home the trophy without a doubt. But I want to get that offensive side of the football, because that's what's different around the city stuff is going on. When I am going to touch on these interceptions that's being thrown. We have, I want to say, I believe we only have about four or five quarterbacks who have a positive ratio when it comes to touchdowns to interceptions, which is ridiculous. is absolutely ridiculous. It's actually pretty sad. And I know myself, I'm not helping that one bit. And I want to take a look at that and actually highlight those five, those very few quarterbacks that do have a positive ratio here. Let's see, we got Carson Wentz, who I believe just got done playing, who had 15 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which he probably has the best record so far. I don't know what happened in that game that was going on. This one got literally just got done watching TV with my fiance, so I didn't get to catch that one. We also have Matt Ryan, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 111 QB rating. And to go back to Wentz, he has a 129.8. So those two quarterbacks are doing pretty good. You also got Dak Prescott with 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. You have Pat Mahomes, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But then after that, it gets pretty ugly. It's not. There's probably only kind of look down. There's one other quarterback that has a positive ratio, and that is Deshaun Watson with 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But I'm pretty sure a lot of that is a lot of check downs, and he's running the football, so he doesn't really have to put the – he's not putting the ball into a bad situation. But, yeah, you got some pretty bad ratios here. Now, I don't think it's because of improved defense this season. I think it has a lot to do with guys not running their offense correctly, or they're still trying to play how they have known to play last season. We got some pretty, like I said, we got some pretty bad ratios as far as interceptions are concerned. The first one I did want to point out, we got Baker Mayfield, which is a shock to me, at 8 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure accuracy numbers have something to do with that. He also has been QB tackled 40 times, which is amazing. That's quite a few compared to some of these quarterbacks who don't even have half of that number. Next quarterback I want to point out was Ryan Tannehill, who has 10 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. He has a 62.5 QB rating. That's not good. That's not on the side of the thing you want to be on. But I think the one that takes the cake is going to be Blake Bortles with 3 touchdowns and 19 interceptions, which is absolutely crazy. I don't know what's going on here. I would mention Big Ben, but Jack is not even worth bringing up at this point in my life. I don't even know what's going on the offensive side of the ball. Like I said, I think a lot of guys just don't know how to properly run the offense right now. They don't have the timing down. I think season one, as it's always been, season one is going to be who has the most talent season one and who can manage it the best and play to their strengths. Right now, it looks like the Eagles are doing a good job. Of course, the Falcons are doing a good job. The Colts are doing a very good job each week. And it looks like those are the teams that you're going to want to watch out for later on in the season and in the playoffs. But some of the main players right now, these guys are struggling because this year's game is very, 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 very different. And moving on from that, we want to talk defense. I want to touch on a couple of players who are doing pretty well on the defensive side of the football. The interception numbers, of course, have been up across the board. So I just want to touch on a couple of the interception leaders. I know Darren Lee was one of them. I had to see him a couple of weeks ago. He was out flying all over the field. Darren Lee is in second with 6 interceptions. So shout out to Steps coming in the middle of the field pretty good. We have Eldon Roberts from New England. I've never heard of the guy, so please don't be mad at me for my ignorance there. But he has 8 interceptions on the year, leading the league. Good job to the New England owner. I have Mark Barron at third also. Oh, I'm sorry, not in third, but tied for second with 6 interceptions as well. We have a slew of linebackers and corners right after that. Just wanted to point out a couple of standout names that I see. We see EJ Gaines with 5 interceptions. I see Kyle Fuller has 4. We have Tremaine Johnson has 4 as well. Marlon Humphrey has 5. Xavier Howard has 5. So good job to you guys out there playing that solid, well, getting out of the sport, but just being in the right place at the right time. I ain't going to say you playing solid defense. I ain't see how exactly how all those interceptions have been made. But shout out to y'all. Also, want to touch up on the sacks for the season. Pause that, of course. We have a lot of ends who are out here killing in defensive tackles, because I've seen a little bit of Villavea, and that dude there is all over the place. Villavea is tied for, I'm not counting that up, tied for whatever, third, with about 5 different players at 9 QB tackles on the season. That list of names are very familiar to a lot of people. Von Miller's in that list, Joey Bosa, Villavea, as I said before, and Tack McKinley all have 9. And tied for first is going to be Everson Griffin and Miles Garrett. Now, do note that these numbers are as current as of as the beginning of the week for week 6. So I don't have anything that just happened. We have a couple of other players down here. We have T.J. Watt at 8, Brian Arakpo at 8, who got 6 in his last game, which is utterly ridiculous. I don't even know how that happened. I seen those stats when I was trying to prep for the show earlier, and I wanted to really rewatch that game and see what the hell was going on. But, hey, shout out to Tennessee for that awesome game with Brian Arakpo last week. Adrian Claiborne has 8 as well. Taco Charlton has 7. Good job with Zach out there making something useful of that bum in real life. We have Khalil Mack with 6 as well. And let's see. That's all. I just want to touch up on those QB tackle numbers. Also, see, we're going to – I also want to go over some of the rookies, like just kind of like a rookie report. a couple of rookies – going into the season, I was kind of excited about, and I've been trying to keep my eye on them, but I haven't been too impressed. I was really looking forward to seeing what Josh Allen was going to do, Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson right now, probably out of those three, is having a better season. Now, Baker Mayfield does have a slew of passing yards, but he has thrown a lot of picks, as I went over earlier. So it's been kind of like an up and down season for Baker Mayfield so far. Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, he's doing pretty solid, I should say. He's not doing solid. I was under the impression he was doing solid. I just saw his rushing numbers. His passing numbers are actually worse than Baker's. He has 61 completions, 121 attempts, sitting literally right at 50% for 1,046 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 12 picks. I would definitely try to get Lamar more looks running the football, and maybe to make those defenses just think that he's going to be running, and he maybe can open up the field a little bit more. I have no idea how that's going to work out for Goins. Obviously, it's not working so far. He has one of the worst offenses in the league with myself, which I will highlight about that later. Another rookie I was looking forward to was Sam Darnold as well with Stoops. And I don't think Sam Darnold has been doing that well either. Sam Darnold on the year has 60 completions for 118. With 60 completions out of 118 attempts, giving them 51%, 1 touchdown and 10 interceptions with a 39.7 QB rating. That's, just moving on. running backs, of course, Nyheim Hines, who, like I said earlier, is my MVP. Dude is just killing it, 620 yards. I done went over the numbers. Dude is killing the rookie rushing field. He's blowing it out the water. Receiving, now this is crazy, because Calvin Ridley is like his real-life counterpart, completely just tearing it up right now. Has a 632 receiving yards on the season so far, which is damn good. Really good. And second, which is a surprise to me, but I knew he was going to try to get this guy involved a lot in his offense, and it's proven to work fairly well with him, and I just want to highlight this player for a second, is Michael Gallup with Zach on the Cowboys. Now, pretty sure not too many people are familiar with Michael Gallup. He was a third-round pick for him for the Cowboys last season for Colorado State. Dude is pretty decent, but, of course, with Dak and his accuracy issues, it's hard to get him incorporated into the offense. But right now, Zach is doing a pretty good job with 22 receptions, 561 yards, and 5 touchdowns. That's pretty good through 6 weeks. He's about getting in the end zone almost every week. That's, hey, you can't argue with that. So keep up the good job with Gallup, and hope you are able to progress him pretty nicely if you're able to keep up at this pace. I guess I could go over to the next thing I want to discuss, which was going to be what the heck is going on with my team. Now, this is my show. I can talk about whatever I want to talk about, and right now I'm going to tell you what the heck is wrong with my team. And right now, we don't have an offensive identity at all. And we, as in me and Case Keenum, are having a very difficult time reading the defense. And it's just been horrible. So we have to scheme up our own plays, figure out how to get guys open. More than likely, Pumphrey. If you can figure out a way to get your hands on Pumphrey, then you might just have me dead to rights. We're struggling. I thought going into the season, I thought Royce Freeman was going to be my guy. Royce Freeman is not the guy. he's not agile. He's really slow. He's a north and south runner. And right now, I don't have the line for north and south running. Now, you guys are probably listening right now, like, why would Turk tell us all this? You know what? Because right now, I don't care. And this is the I'm upset tour. I'm upset. And I'm going to voice my opinion about how my team is doing. But we're not doing that well. Demaryius is literally just a deep threat. I don't see Sanders at all during the game. Cortland Sutton is I might as well just send him back to SMU at this point. We're not doing that well. On the flip side, my defense though, that defense though, was looking like, well, prior to last week, was a top 5 unit in the SFL. We're doing pretty good, but it's only so much you can do until I have to allow this all starts to fall apart. And if I can't get my offense together anytime soon, this is going to be my life the whole cycle. So rest assured, even if I am not looking like I'm going to make the playoffs, I'm going to try to make sure that my offense is improving steadily every week. And therefore, so when the offseason comes around and I add more pieces, I'll be ready to go when it's time. But with that being said, I do know that a lot of guys don't look forward to playing me because of the defensive situation going on in my squad. I do get some playoff predictions. May end up making the playoffs. So we'll start off in the AFC East. We have actually a fairly tight race going on right now with LB leading the pack at 4-2. He hasn't played in the division games yet, which is actually pretty surprising. It's late in the season, so they're probably about to have a slew of division games here soon. But LB is out front at 4-2. With the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots all sitting at 3-3 right behind him, but Steps looks like he holds the tiebreaker because he's 1-0 in the division and he has a 3-2 conference record. And in that division, I honestly think, just looking at it, if the Patriots can get their defense together, they have a chance to come out the AFC East here. So you can pencil me down as the Patriots coming out the AFC East. I don't think the rest of those teams are going to hold up too well. Just give them a little time to get that defense together, and they'll be ready to go. And moving on to the AFC West, division I'm in, of course. Right now, Cody is ahead at 5-1. I believe that's Cody that has the Chiefs. And the Chargers right behind him at 4-2. To be honest, I have played the Chiefs. I have not played the Chargers. And I have played the Raiders. With that being said, I've seen the Raiders. I've seen the Chiefs. I have not seen the Chargers. At 4-2, I'm going to give him the go because I don't see how, so far, how Cody's made it to 5-1. I mean, that's not, there's no slight at Cody, or maybe it is. I don't care. But I'm going with the Chargers coming out the division. It'll be a tight one, but I think he pulls it out at the end. Moving on to the AFC North, we got the Browns sitting at 4-2, the Bengals 3-3, Ravens 1-5, and 0-6. Still is. We already know this story. I ain't got to say no more. I mean, the Bengals owner may be decent, but hey, bro, at the end of the day, you still in division with B. Man, I say nothing else. AOC South. We got a very interesting situation going on over here, too. We got the Colts, who's sitting at 6-0. Naeem Hines, like I said, MVP. Listen to me. Naeem Hines, MVP, will finish with at least 1,300 yards and 20-plus carries, barring injury. That's me knocking on wood. Pause. So, hear me out. Colts will win this division, but barely, because the Texans are nipping on his heels. The Texans have a lot of weapons on offense. They have a very good defense. He puts up points. When I'm pretty sure every time they play, it's going to be a shootout. But right now, the Colts is playing really good offense and defense, and they can control the clock running the football. So give me the Colts coming out of that division, but it will be very close. They'll probably have to win a game or two right at the end. Moving on to the NFC, we got the NFC East, where the Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins, and Giants. Now this one, this one's kind of tough for me because, hey, I mean, I like Zach sometimes. I do, and I wonder what he's doing sometimes. Zeke is there. He has a team. He has one of those things that everybody wishes for. Him and the Eagles have the one thing that everybody in this league wishes for, and that is a stout offensive line, a line that can get you to the second level. You can control that clock, and that's how you win the game this year. That is how you control the clock, you win the game this year. But Zach will fail. Now, he'll make the playoffs, but it won't be as a division winner. The Eagles are stacked. They could have all the injuries in the world, but when your backups are still 80 overall, it won't matter. The Eagles will make the playoffs. They'll be the division winners out that side, but Zach will make the playoffs, but he, like as I said before, he won't be the division winner. Moving on to the NFC West, we got the Rams with Krim at 5-1. We got the Cardinals 3-3, the 1-5 49ers, and the 1-5 Seahawks. This was fairly easy. I actually just played Krim, and to be honest, I should have won if it wasn't for freaking fun jumping off sides in overtime on a pick six. But Krim is at 5-1. The Rams are just—they're absolutely stacked. They're ridiculous. Like it's a done deal. Like Art is all love. I don't hate you as much as I used to hate you, but you're not gonna keep up with Krim this season. At least this season. Next year, little progression, some drop offs, checkbook getting a little heavy for the Rams. You might be able to catch up to him. So yeah. So, yeah, but this year it ain't going to happen, but you might have a chance at a wild card spot if you hold on. Then we have the NFC North. We got the 5-0 Bears, the 4-2 Vikings, the 2-3 Lions, and the 2-4 Packers. Here I am going to give – I'm going to give this nod off to the Bears. There's not a bone in my body that can allow or even say that Taysom will win that division. And I played the Bears. I think I played the Bears twice, and before we got the season started, And that dude's pretty good on defense. Well, I'm not going to say pretty good. He's decent on defense. Like, he's really good at using the middle linebacker. Roquan Smith is an absolute terror to deal with. And it's as simple as that. He's 5-0 right now. He's up, I'd say, a game and a half right now on him since he's only played 5 and Jason's played 6. He's up a game and a half. I think he takes that division easily. There's no question about it. Moving on, NFC South, we got the Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, and Saints. 5-1 Falcons, 4-1 Panthers, 2-3 Bucks, and 1-4 Saints. Let me throw out one number here. Falcons have a 27-point differential a game. A game. 27 points a game. They're 5-1. You have the Panthers, who have a +3-point differential a game. So there's not much else needed to be said here. The Falcons ran into the Eagles week 1. He got punched in the mouth. It happens. He's rolling now. It's not even funny how bad he's beating down some of these teams. Q takes it easily. He'll probably have home field advantage going through the playoffs, unless because I'm pretty sure the Bears won't keep up what they got going on at 5-0. But yeah, Q takes that division. Probably has home field advantage. With that being said, that leads me to my predictions for who I believe will be the two teams left at the end, because I'm not going to go through the whole trying to map out the playoffs. I ain't got time for all that. As someone who's played Q a lot so far this cycle, he has it all together already. He understands all the concepts. He understands the underworkings of the game. He knows exactly, what coverage is and the concepts. And why this person is doing this, and he can pick apart almost any defense, obviously except for the Eagles. But he'll probably run into them again in the playoffs, and he'll probably make an example out of them the second time around. With that being said, I'm definitely picking the Falcons to come out the NFC this year to take on, and hear me out. Now, I know that Naeem Hines as MVP, but Naeem won't be in the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl pick, and y'all going to hate me for this, is going to be the Texans. And that's me. I got 90 seconds. I'm going to make it quick. But y'all going to hate me for this. But the Texans, they have the defense. They have the offense to get there. Chan or Chape or Gabe, whoever's in control of that team, they have the pieces to get to the Super Bowl. They just have to be patient on defense and on offense. They have everything there. They have a +14-point differential. They have everything that you need: mobile quarterback, good running back, wideouts, defense. Falcons, Texans, Super Bowl. I'm not telling y'all who's going to win until next week. But with that being said, I do appreciate y'all that tuned in or is listening on the podcast. If y'all have any suggestions, definitely let me know. I did kind of do this on short notice, so it was kind of a little helter-skelter. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. With that being said, the Broncos is going to get this offense together, and I'm upset, too, is going to be back on the road. So, like I said, it's your boy Turk, Denver Broncos owner, sitting at 1-5. We trash. I'm upset. We out of here.
Yeah. I'm upset. 50,000 on my head is disrespect. So offended that I had to double check. I'ma always take the money over sex.